My name is Amanda. I want to thank you for joining us today. We hope that this message inspires you, builds your faith, and helps you find your next step toward Jesus. Enjoy the message.
This is from the letter of Paul to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with the very last verse of chapter 4, and then into 5. Paul writes, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." This is the word of God for the people of God. You can be seated.
Good to see you guys. Welcome to you guys who are in person and those of you who are online. We're glad you are here. So I have noticed a little bit in the culture, probably not too hard. I'm sure most of you picked up on this. Every now and then there's like a fad that comes up, and often there's like a good heart in there. And what I've noticed lately is a bit of a fad right now is a lot of talk about kindness and being kind. Have any of you ever picked up on this recently? You can walk into any major retailer right now and see it. Like, hold on, this is just here's a t-shirt. It's a be kind of day. Right, there's lots of like wordplay ones. There's kind people are my kind of people. There's a lot of that going on. There's a dish towel. Here you go, just in case you're washing dishes, wishing someone else in your house was washing the dishes, and you're about ready to throw something at them. You know, you can look at your towel and remember, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul. And you're like, right, so I won't throw the crock pot at somebody right now. For your wall. You know, cute little thing, cultivate kindness there. You can buy this one for $9.99. It might be like a Hobby Lobby kind of thing there. Now, you really know something is a genuine fad when it has made it all the way to granola bars and yogurt and cereal. Kind bars are, these are my go-to if I am running out of the house and have not had time to actually eat something, like for real for breakfast. Anybody else with me? And so these are my go-to. So there is a lot of conversation on the internet, posts, blogs, t-shirts, granola bars, about how can we be kind. Where's that coming from? I imagine that part of that is a reaction against kind of the hyper-polarization in our country in the last few years, people being maybe a little extra mean to each other and feeling kind of vindicated for it. Where I was born in Georgia, we call that being ugly to each other. And so I think that some of the emphasis on kindness is a reaction against that. But underneath that is probably something more that I think we know that we want more kindness in the world. We definitely want more kindness towards us. We want to see more of it. Giving it is hard, but we know that it creates the kind of world that we want to be in when we find that someone is caring for someone else or let someone off the hook when they were mean to them or opened up their home to foster another child or paid for someone's meal or whatever it is. We know that kindness creates the kind of world that we want to be in. Often I find it a bit of a struggle to receive. I don't know if anybody else, like I was at a coffee shop this week and I gave my order and reached to my back pocket and realized, oh, forgot my wallet. And the guy behind me says, I got it. And I said, no, that's okay, I'm fine. He goes, no, I got it. I'm like, no, it's all right. He said, one more time, I can get this. And I said, no, that's right. He goes, dude, it's 4:26, I got it. And I'm like, okay, all right, you can get my coffee for me. And then I feel the need to thank him like 37 times, you know. Like, what is that about us? Kindness, receiving it can be challenging. Maybe we can remember that kindness is one of our values. We, in the scripture, describes it as one of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. We'll look at that a little bit more later, like specifically kindness. But I think as Christians, we can even take that a step further and talk about, maybe that's just one expression of what it means to give grace to others. That we want to be people that show grace, that pour out grace, that share grace with other people. That's the kind of world that we want to be in. But when the world has like a fad, something they want to value that pops up, I think a question that's worth asking is, do they have the resources to live it out? Like, who has, it's a good impulse. It's the right impulse. But I think it might be worth asking, who has the resources to really live out a life of kindness and grace to others? Because I imagine that down in us, we know that that's right. We know that that's good. I don't think there's anybody that's like, you know what the world has too much of these days? Kindness. Ugh, the kind people are ruining everything, right? That's not how we are. We know that that's not right. But one of the things that I'm glad that we can look to is, as followers of Jesus, I think we could say to the world, you're onto something. But I think that I can point you to the resource that you need to live it out in the right way. Last week, Ron went to the book of Ephesians, and I'd like to hang out there most of our time today. So this is a letter that Paul is writing to a community that is having trouble living out their values. Worth noting, most of the letters of the New Testament are written to communities that are having trouble. That's why they're written. So if you are ever in like Christian community, you're trying to figure out how to live as a Christian family or as a church or as a small group, and you're driving each other crazy, just remember you're being very biblical. Like, this might get you in the Bible, right? Because these people were struggling, because it's a challenge. And so into that context, the Apostle Paul, one of the first Christians, writes the book of Ephesians and most of the other books that he wrote into similar contexts. Chapter 2, halfway verse 3. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. One of the things that we get to talk about is a resource that we draw on for showing grace is that we have been given more grace than we can handle, more kindness that we can handle. And for us, the whole conversation about showing grace to others, giving grace to others, doesn't start with what you need to do more of. It starts with what we have already received. It doesn't start with you should. It starts with you have been given. And this is like fundamental to the Christian faith, so much so I think that the Greek word grace, also translated gift, is the word charis. In Greek Americanized, it's like charis, which is what I named my daughter. And this was kind of the verse that grabbed my heart when we were picking her name, for it is by grace, charis, that you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves, it is the gift, the charis of God. Like, this is who God is. And one of the things that we get to say to the world is we don't have to start with trying harder. We get to start with remembering that we have been the recipient of grace and kindness from God showed to us in Christ Jesus. Now, that's really good news, because selflessness, if we could talk about showing grace that way, is pretty much impossible if we don't have a sense of ourself. If you do not have a solid sense of yourself, you cannot be selfless. Because everything that we try to do for someone else if we don't really know who we are, kind of ends up being something that we're really doing for ourselves. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been offended when an act of selflessness didn't give you what you wanted? You know what I mean? We had some neighbors move in a few years ago. I hope they're not here. And I took them, they're great. But I took them a pan of brownies, right? And I gave them, you know, Pyrex dish and the whole thing. And they said thank you, and they never brought the dish back. They've still got my dish. Like, and I had a couple of weeks later, I was like, those little, I mean, like, you know, that shows, was that an act of grace on my part? Or did I need, was that really a gift? Was that really a gift? Have you ever not been told thank you in the way that you wanted? And it offended you? Well, then was it a gift? Has someone ever done something kind for you and then was a little upset that they didn't get back what they wanted? This understanding a strong sense of ourselves is challenging. Maybe there's other expressions of that. Like, do you constantly have a hard time relating to people that don't agree with you? That they have to agree with you to be able to relate to you? That may mean that we don't have a strong sense of ourselves. Do you find it hard not to interfere in other people's relationships sometimes and to tell them how their relationships should work and how they should interact and what they should do and what they shouldn't do? Maybe you have a hard time having a strong sense of yourself. On and on and on we could go, right? And I struggle with some of these too, definitely on my days that aren't so good. But here's the thing. When we have received grace, we can start with, we have been given our identity. We have been given a sense of who I am, who you are. You are a daughter or son of God whom he loves, and he is pleased with you. And we get to start there. And when we have that grounded in us, that means we can give a gift and we don't need anything back. It can just be a gift. And I wonder sometimes as I struggle and I go through a hard week or whatever, if I know, or if you remember how to retreat and be alone with the Father, to have my identity like reshaped in me so that I can step out into the world and give grace, give kindness, be selfless. Because otherwise, all of those things end up being kind of selfish. But as Christians, we get to start with, you have received an identity from God that says you are his daughter, son, he loves you, and he's pleased with you. And when that settles in us, we have the resources. We can draw on kindness that we have been given, poured out on us more than we can handle, and that we can share with a world that really, really needs it. Now, Paul there in chapter 2, he's talking about the cross of Jesus, that in the cross of Jesus, God's kindness has been expressed to us. I think it's worth noting that every time he writes to a community that's in trouble, he talks about the cross and what God has done for us in the cross, so that he can get to how they need to live with each other. Oftentimes in Christian world, theology world, preacher world, we can just talk about the cross and not talk about, so this is how we live now. And you can tell how frustrated Paul is, here's a little tip, by how quickly he talks about the cross, so how much he can talk about what y'all need to do different. In the book of 1 Corinthians, he talks about the cross in chapter 1, and chapters 2 through 14, or y'all are crazy, right? And here in Ephesians, he's trying to talk about the cross so he can talk about how they need to live with each other. So if we could get to chapter 4, he's talking to people that are trying to figure it out. Verse 25, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we're all members of one body. We'll come back to that in a minute. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, so that they may have something to share, they may have something to caress with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful? What is a gift? What is grace? What is kind? For building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit, that it may care us, those who listen. See, he talks about the body. Now, we have to have a strong sense of ourself. I have to know who I am, where I stop and where you start. But he uses smartly the image of the body because although we are distinct from each other, we have to remain deeply connected. And some of us don't have the problem of knowing who I am and who you are. We have the problem of just knowing who I am, and you can deal with your own life, right? But he talks about as a body, we stay deeply connected to one another because we give each other grace. We have something to offer one another. Now, you may be thinking, wow, Paul, groundbreaking insight. You should stop stealing. Did you catch that part? Like, what is that about? I think where he's going is maybe I can borrow some language from Natalie Davis. Do y'all know Natalie Davis, the historian? She's probably almost 80 now. She talks about three modes of life that we progress through. And we start life in the mode of coercion, is our least mature state, which is how can I get more than I give? How can I work life so that I get more out of it than I give? I can figure out how to tell my boss I worked a whole day when really I took a longer lunch than I need to do, but I get paid for the whole day. I can figure out in my relationships how do I get more emotionally than I give. Maybe it's that gift that I'm giving you, but really I'm hoping to get something back. Maybe you buy your wife flowers because you're hoping for a little bit of kissy time, whatever it is. Just as a theory. You know, coercion, right? That's where we start. And then collectively as a society, we throw a party. We throw a party when someone moves from a coercive state to what Natalie Davis, she calls sales, meaning I get what I pay for, or fairness, or flat scales, or I am an equal exchange with you, that this is fair, it's sales. And we throw a party when someone learns how to get what they pay for and pay for what they get, because that is major progression. When God rescues a bunch of slaves out of Egypt, makes them into a nation, in biblical language, this stage is called law. Law. And he says, hey, I've got brand new ideas. If someone steals or kills this person's donkey, guess what they should be given back? A donkey. You don't get to burn their house down, right? Because that cycle of revenge picks up steam and never stops, right? And so God comes in, he says, hey, law, fairness, sales, you get what you pay for. We're going to flatten the scales. We're not going to let this thing run wild. And we throw a collective party as a society when people get to that place. Paul, though, he seems to say that because of Jesus, we don't stop there as followers of Jesus. Like when he talks about this person must no longer steal, that's coercion, right? But must do something useful with their own hands so that they might have something to give to those in need. Now that's not fair. It should be I work hard so that I can have what I earn. But he says that followers of Jesus work hard so that they have something to give. That we don't look at people in need and say, I've worked hard, you should work hard, the end. We look at people in need and say, this is what I have worked hard for so that I could give you grace. We don't stop at coercion to sales or fairness. We move all the way into a life of gift. That Jesus calls us into a life of gift, and that is the connection that we offer each other. Now, that was a challenge to those people then. This is a challenge to me now. It's not even just our stuff and what we work for. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, that even in my speech, I can use how I talk. I can grade how I talk on, am I being a gift to you right now? And what does a world look like where someone grades what comes out of their mouth, not on what's fair, but I am here to be a gift to you. Why? Because I have had the grace of Jesus poured out in my life more than I can stand, and I know who I am. I have my identity. I'm okay. I am here to be a gift to you. I don't need anything back today. This is a gift to you. What I say, what I do, it's so that I can offer it to those in need. Who wants on board with that? Now, challenge is that that is a little bit, if we could say, the easy part of offering that to the body, those that we are deeply connected to. But Jesus, man, that guy messes with everything. He takes it even further, like if we could talk about in Luke chapter, if I can get my own mark here, chapter 6. He says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. That we're not just called to love people who love us back, who are in this exchange of grace called the body of Christ. We are called to love those people that are not a part of our body, that are outside of us, that frustrate us and drive us crazy sometimes. We are called to love people that are different than us and not connected to us. So, who is the group that when you think those people are nuts, that's the group that comes to mind? Those are the people that drive me crazy. Those are the people that if they could just sail to their own island, my life would be better. You got that group in mind? Who does not? I'll give you one. I have a couple suggestions. And look, and Jesus, he says, this giving grace thing, as God, I have poured out my grace even on them. And we are called to do the same. We're invited into that kind of life. The father of modern missions, a Methodist missionary named E. Stanley Jones, when he went to India to be a missionary there, he came with a principle in mind that he said, it is wrong to teach someone that we are not learning from. It is wrong to teach someone that we are not learning from. And he would invite religious leaders and people with strong religious convictions to sit down with him at what he called round tables. And he would let them express what they believe in its best possible terms. Now, this is completely different than how our society trains us to talk about the other. Our society trains us to talk about the other in the worst possible terms, right? Oh, those evil. Oh, those crazy. Oh, those stupid. Oh, those racist. Oh, those liberal. Oh, those whatever, right? Just pull on the ends of the spectrum. And someone, I think, that was deeply shaped by the grace of Jesus goes in and says, let me listen to you, describe what you believe, and then let me talk about how I think Jesus can help you find the core of what you're looking for. He just has the right resources to get you there if we follow him. And I wonder if there's people that we could be listening to, spending time dialing down our rhetoric, maybe even trying to figure out what is it that they value that does reflect the kingdom of God. You know, it might be an atheist in your family who drives you crazy. It might be someone on the far right. It might be someone on the far left. Whatever, LGBT community, Southern Baptist, God help us, whatever. Methodist, yikes. We're in trouble. I don't know if you guys pay attention to the Methodist movement. We're a hot mess. But if we can learn how to give grace, if we can learn how to speak grace into people's lives, how to listen, I think maybe we could be a little more like the Christ who calls us forward, even if we genuinely disagree. But Paul doesn't even stop there. If we could go back to Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 30, picking up where we left off. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind, there's that word again, and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore. As dearly loved children, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It's not just that we give grace to our community and our body, or even that we just give grace to those who are the other, who we don't understand, aren't connected with, or frustrated with. We're called to give grace to people that are guilty, that have hurt us, that have wounded us. And I know that is so hard sometimes. Yeah, yes, there's the petty thing. We can hold on to unforgiveness, and it can be like this petty right to be angry and frustrated. But then there are the deep wounds that sometimes out of abuse or neglect or abandonment or addiction or how someone talked to you and told you who you were, how they used you. I know that a lot of people carry a lot of wounds. In fact, I don't know anybody that hasn't had some significant journey of forgiveness in their life. And here's the thing. The world is calling for kindness, and I think that's good. Do they have the resources to forgive the guilty? Because here's the conversation I hear a lot in the world, is that forgiveness is about making me feel better. It's, I forgive you so that I will feel better. I think we do feel better when we forgive, but that is the coercive thing, right? That's the selfish thing. That's, I'm giving you a gift so that I can get something back. But if forgiveness for us is like Jesus forgave, then it is just a gift given to the guilty. Forgiveness is a gift given to the guilty. Jesus did not need to feel better, so he forgave us. But he calls us to create a new world, one more like heaven, where you are who you were created to be, and that person that receives grace is who they were created to be, and we forgive them, meaning we say, I am not going to be angry with you anymore. I'm dropping my anger. Now, a couple of words there. Forgiveness is not the same thing as reconciliation. I hope it leads to reconciliation, but sometimes it just can't. Forgiveness and trust are not the same thing. We can forgive someone and never trust them again. Sometimes that's appropriate. Forgiveness is not incompatible with justice. Sometimes justice needs to move forward, even as we say, I am releasing you from my anger. But forgiveness is still a hard journey sometimes. I can name one forgiveness journey in my life that took me no less than 10 years. No less than 10 years. I'm sure you have your own. But here's the thing. He says that when Christ forgave us, we're called to forgive like Christ. As Christ forgave us, it was like a fragrant offering to God the Father. It was like incense. It was like worship. It was like making the world a little more like heaven. It was bringing the throne room of God here on earth. And because we have had grace poured out on us, we live into our identity as the children of God more than in any other place when we forgive the guilty. I do not know of any more distinctive mark of followers of Jesus as those who know how to forgive. Desmond Tutu, bishop in South Africa, who helped bring a healing process to thousands and thousands of people that really needed it. He says there is no future without forgiveness. No future without forgiveness, because it's not just coercion, that coercive state that breaks the world. The state of fairness never goes well in the long run, because I'm always in debt somewhere, right? I'm always guilty somewhere. But forgiveness, pouring out grace, giving kindness to one another, that is a thing that remakes the world one step at a time, and it remakes us as God pours out his grace into us and we give it to others. So just a few questions maybe as we wrap up today. First of all, is where can I be a gift to my community? Not a place to give, not even just a place to like give in exchange, but where can I genuinely be a gift? Where can I be a gift? Where can I open up my home? Maybe we've been talking about there's more for you, there are next steps for you in your discipleship to Jesus, and we really want 20% of our people at LaCroix to take a significant step in identifying where they are called to grow in their discipleship. Maybe this is a place for you. Where can you be a gift to your community over and over and over again? Second, where can I be a gift to people that really frustrate me? That's hard. Maybe it's just changing the way I talk. Maybe it's building a bridge. Maybe it's honoring by listening. Where can I be a gift to people that frustrate me? And last, who is guilty that I can forgive? I want to make sure that the word guilty is in there because we are not forgiving mistakes. When Jesus forgave the people nailing him to the cross, they didn't nail him to the cross by mistake. They didn't have a bad morning and accidentally nail someone to the cross. They're guilty, and that's what we forgive. But that's where the freedom is. Listen, kindness, if we could take it a step further, giving grace is all about freedom because it says that what has been done to me doesn't define me. I am free to receive grace and to give grace in spite of what has happened to me or is happening in the world around me. That is where all of the freedom is, and I think that that's what God has for us to live into. If you need help walking through a process like that, especially around forgiveness, we have a ministry here at the church called Stephen Ministry that can walk people through a forgiveness process. If you're interested in that, you can email care@lacroixchurch.org. If you're here in person, there's going to be people from Stephen Ministry out in the Next Steps area that would love to talk to you afterwards. If you're online, you can email care@lacroixchurch.org also. But as people who want freedom, and who want to live out the grace that we have received so that our life can be a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Let's pray together. Jesus, your kindness was risky and costly. You went to the cross carrying kindness with you so that you could pour out grace on us. God, I pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can give grace to others. Even if it's just a little bit of progress today, especially around old wounds. God, thank you for giving a gift to the guilty like us. Help us to do the same. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, make sure to subscribe to this channel. Feel free to share this with others that God has put on your heart. To learn more about LaCroix Church or to find your next steps, head to lacroixchurch.org. Thanks again for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.